Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Here's White. No one picks him up. He got it. On a three. DeRozan didn't take the three. Great breakdown from White. Green connects. Gorgeous possession. And reloads it out. White. Zigzags and cups it home. White swims in and finishes. Kobe White has been moving at a different gear than everybody else. White into the lane, cups it in, and Kobe White is just cutting them up. White will fire. You bet! 40.9 for Kobe White. Kobe White.
Oh, God! Welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you. For a three-hour ride on this Deal Breakers Thursday, with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And yes, we heard it from Ryan Rucco on ESPN. We all watched it. The Chicago Bulls, they defeat the Hawks last night at the UC, a raucous UC, 131-116 to play in. And so the Bulls have another life, Cap. They'll be able to play Miami next. But boy, what a ball game for the Bulls. Back against the wall, and they find a way to win that game against the Hawks.
I remember coaching, if we won in a conference tournament, we'd walk in the locker room, still alive!
That's right.
That's where they're at. Mm-hmm. Still alive! Let me just tell you something. I loved every second of that game. Every second of it. But I'm furious this morning. Furious! Do you know why?
Why is that?
I saw you in the parking garage when you pulled in. I said, I'm furious about last night. You said, why? I said, let me tell you. When we get in the studio, and I walked away from your car, and you went, oh, here's why. That crowd was amazing last night.
Yes, it was.
Amazing. I've never been prouder. I tweeted, I could not be more proud to be from Chicago and to see our crowd, how they supported the Bulls, even though management does not reciprocate in any way, shape, or form. What an amazing environment tonight at the United Center. Take that. Joe Colley goes right back at me. They got at the cap man. Next year when you have DeRozan and LaVine and everybody back in the lineup. Look, I love the Bulls. Love watching them play. Watching how hard that team played last night, sharing the ball, drive and kick, Kobe attacking, DeRozan playing tough, Drummond coming back from his ankle, Caruso trying to gut it out on a bad ankle, then hurt the other ankle, and the crowd chanting, going crazy, like it was the 90s.
Yes.
And for management to do nothing to fix this team and their myriad ills throughout the season, lack of perimeter shooting, lack of depth. Shame on you. Shame on you, Arturis, when you get in the car. Michael and Jerry and Mark Eversley, who I still don't, I've never seen the man speak. Don't know if he exists, but shame on all of you for taking this city for granted, because that's what they've done. People want to cheer for that team. The passion was amazing last night. God bless the fan base. I'm in my house going, bang! My wife's like, that's the 9-10 game. You're that fired up? Yeah, because I'm from here. That's our team. And those four men running that team, disrespectful to all of us.
So I've been saying throughout the regular season, Cap, that I came to a conclusion that I can separate the ineffective Bulls management from the Bulls players, the Bulls effort, and the Bulls' resolve. And I'm going to start with our teammate here, Mark Silverman, because when I said that throughout the season, he would poke fun or not understand the angle. He tweeted last night, Sylvie, at Waddle and Sylvie, I don't love the direction of my Bulls, but I appreciate what Kobe, DeMar, and Io have done this year. Wish everyone in the organization tried as hard as them. Okay, so that's what I've been saying the entire time. I know that it is a far cry from how we usually look at this thing, but Cap, when you take a look at the effort all season, and again, it's a 39-43 ball club. We knew there was going to be an underachieving team because it's about talent. It always is about talent. It doesn't matter the sport. If you don't have difference makers, cornerstones for your franchise, you get what you deserve when you don't have that. But what I'm saying is that Billy Donovan is trying to take that rag, take that towel, and squeeze in every little bit of juice out of that towel. That's what the Bulls are. It's in the same situation they were last year as a try-hard team. But again, because management is ineffective and not willing to make change, Billy Donovan says, okay, I'm going to do the best I can with this team. Kobe White is a great example, is emblematic of Billy Donovan and his coaching. Kobe White was the lead guard starting the season. We thought, oh, Kobe White's going to be the lead guard because there's no Lonzo Ball. Kobe White says, I'm going to maximize my minutes. I'm going to make sure that I am able to turn my career around and be, I would say, the most improved player in the league. Look how easy it is for him to get to the basket. It's not just last night. We've been seeing it all season. I think you and I have been amazed of you and I at draft night when Kobe was drafted. And we looked at each other. You're doing TV. I'm doing radio, doing the draft coverage. And I say, hey, Cap, Kobe White. And you just kind of just shrugged your shoulders like, yeah, I don't get it. Because we did not get it. But look at a guy here that's empowered to say, you're all we got. Oh, we know we put you on ice. We put you to the side. But you have to be the guy now. Okay. And even better without LaVine. He is spectacular, Cap. Because he's empowered to say, Kobe, you're not just a Vinnie Johnson microwave coming off the bench. You're going to have to be the guy for us. And he said, okay. And look what he's doing. 42 points last night.
He was amazing. He was amazing. He played downhill all night, attacking the rim, the spin move in the middle of the lane, how he was able to wriggle through multiple defenders coming at him and score the ball the way he did was spectacular. Spectacular.
Been doing it all season, especially with LaVine off the floor, because now there's space.
That's funny. They put a little bit of money into player development. They poached Peter Patton, the former DePaul guard. He was running that for Tibbs in Minnesota. Then Mark Cuban hired him away to Dallas, and he wanted to get back home. And the Bulls stepped up and got him, and he's one of Billy's guys. And boom, player development's gotten better. Now he's got to continue to work with Patrick Williams and Dalen Terry. All I'm telling you is that team, they're not going to win a championship. I think they're going to beat Miami tomorrow night. Jimmy Butler got injured. Probably is out. That is a huge, huge loss for the Heat. But if management really cared and went, you know what? Look at this building. We owe these people something. Arturas, whatever it is, go into tax, fix this thing. There's a good base here. We're going to re-sign DeMar, and let's go get some reinforcements here.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope, this is fine. Continuity's good. It's fine.
Right.
Continuity.
And win or lose, let's assume they win tomorrow, and then they lose 4-1 to the Celtics or swept.
We're going to run it back. We like continuity. We get Patrick healthy. Lonzo will play once every 2 weeks as he works his way back.
What?
Yeah. That's how
and
they
that's
do it.
Offensive.
Yeah, that's
that
how
they do it.
That is
offensive.
There.
They deserve to have an empty building last night. They deserve to have, you can hear a pin drop. And instead, the great fans of Chicago, you were awesome last night.
Kobe White, a career high, 42 points. Some thoughts from Kobe.
It was a dope feeling. It was a dope moment for that to happen. I'm thankful for it. Like I said, I'm thankful for the fans. It felt like a playoff vibe. Like, the place is rocking tonight. And I'm definitely counting it as my career high. So, it's on the stat sheet right here. So.
that's what's so weird about the play-in game. Those stats don't count. That's the thing. It only counts for that particular game, but it's not added on to his regular season stats because it's the play-in tournament. But, Cap, I just want to make sure that the point is made this morning when it comes to the Bulls, and that is this, is that would you say that DeMar DeRozan sucks?
Would I say that?
Yes.
No.
Would you say that Kobe White sucks?
No.
Or Vucevic sucks?
No.
Okay, here's the point, is that when people say, okay, well, the Bulls suck. No, the Bulls don't suck because you have a veteran player in DeMar DeRozan that actually wants to come back here and wants to be part of the future of this Bulls team. The oldest player on the team who gave you 22 points, 16 for 19 from the field. He was fantastic. Hit his 1-3 with Coby White with his 42 points. Was just amazing. Get to the foul line 10 times. Vucevic was 24 points and 12 rebounds. You see, to me, I look at Bulls players that are respected across the league, by the way, because they like the pace and the space. They like the rebounding edge that the Bulls can get. They like how they can get up and down the floor. It's the management that's the issue, and that seems to be a theme around here when it comes to Reinsdorf's own teams. You know, you can look at the White Sox and say, boy, the Sox are terrible. Yeah, they are terrible. You see the one-loss record? No question about it. But you know what's worse? When you have ineffective ownership. And that's for the Bulls and the White Sox. So when people say, well, the Bulls suck, well, we know that there's a ceiling to their success. I mean, we can tell you how the story's going to be written. The Bulls more than likely will win on Friday and then get into the playoffs and get a gentleman sweep or get swept, even though they played hard in the regular season, because it's about stars. It's about difference makers. But the point is, though, is that what will happen, as Cap just laid out for you, and Shane mentioned this yesterday, is that if they would have lost, it would have been better for some Bulls fans, because what's the excuse for Karnaschovas? Now, at the end of the season, you know what will happen. Karnaschovas will hold up this win against Atlanta. More than likely, the win against Miami is, look what we were able to do, get into playoffs with continuity. Look what we... No! No, that doesn't give you solace and think that you can just get off scotch-free. No, just because the Bulls got to the playoffs, that's the thing. He'll sit there and say, well, look what we did with this continuity. Look what how we developed Io. Look how we developed. No, no. The object is to get to the top of the conference, Cap, not the bottom of it.
Correct.
And barely get in.
Correct.
See, but he'll hold this up now. Look what we did. But having said that, I'm rooting for the players.
Same here. I enjoyed it. I'm going to be in Portland. Our son just moved there. We're going to visit. I was talking to Nick last night. I mean, he's a huge basketball guy. He was captain of his high school team. Nick is like, yeah, we got to watch the Bulls game on Friday. Yeah. Like, excited. And I know it's the 9-10 game, and my friend Joe Colley is going, looks like they got at the Cap, man. He's bought in. No,
that's not the point.
I didn't buy in on that nonsensical front office they've got over there. I bought in on, I grew up in this town like you. To watch the performance of those fans last night, like you heard Kobe. It's like a playoff game in here. Yeah. Chanting defense. I even saw the old school sign from the 90s. We will defend what is ours. Mm-hmm. Somebody had that sign.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. And I know we're 9-10 game, then they're going to play the Heat, lose that, win that game, and then you're going to get eviscerated by a team that actually tries, the Celtics.
With talent, fantastic front office, great coaching, all of that. All of it's there. But Cap, that's the thing. The reason why that the United Center was at a fever pitch last night is because the fans are supporting the players.
Yes.
You think the fans in the 100 level, 203, you don't think they know what's going on?
Oh, they're not stupid.
They know what's going on.
They know what's going on.
There's someone that was sitting there at the United Center last night, Cap. You know what they were saying? They folded their arms and were just like, boy, look at this team. Look at this team without Zach LaVine. Look at this team without Lonzo Ball, who hasn't been here in years. And look at the hustle. Look at the effort that's there from this team. And they're probably shaking their head like, can't believe it, man, but they're in it. And it was ebbs and flows in this game, too. It's typical of any Bulls game of them having a lead, then relinquishing the lead because they're not playing good defense and having to try hard. This has been a try-hard Bulls team for the last couple of seasons. That's just based on the roster.
Correct.
And, of course, the Atlanta Hawks on the other side couldn't care less about defense. Couldn't care less.
Trae Young is the biggest losing player that has a star contract I've ever seen. Oh, God.
Laughs and Zach LaVine. Come on.
What's that?
Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine's a better player than him. Absolutely a better player than him. This dude sucks. You couldn't. If they released him, I wouldn't want him on my roster. Trae Young. Loser.
I mean, all that activity does not necessarily mean accomplishment. Here's what I want. if you're going to miss shots as badly as Young did last night, and he missed a number of them, at least get back defensively. I mean, it's a two-way street for teams. He's going to miss shots. He's going to take his shots now, a ton of them. Usually some good, some bad. I mean, it's like air balls, not even in the same arena. But if you're not going to get back defensively, that's even worse.
Yeah.
That they let Coby White get to the rim time and time and time again. And here's Coby White, a little guy, can find a little sliver of light to be able to get to the basket. He's going through two defenders. Two defenders, Coby White. Right into the painted area. Like, they don't desire to guard anybody.
Nobody. And Elton John, their coach, with the red glasses.
I did see, yes.
Yeah. Wow. He's got to be over there going, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I saw him once. He got up and he's like moving his hands. Like, quit letting him drive down the middle of the lane.
Yeah. They were 1-2-3 Cancun even last
Case,
night, too.
Even KC Johnson
yeah.
tweeted, where has this been? This team attacking, kicking to the corners, banging shots. Oh, man.
Bulls, at times, against good teams, they have done this.
They have.
Like that. This was not a one-off, Cap. This wasn't just some magical night. The Bulls can play that way. They're respected in the league. They're kind of that rock in your shoe. That's what they are. Like,
correct.
Oh, God, here they come. Here's Coby White. All right. Here's DeRozan with his mid-range jumper. Here's Vucevic rebounding him, getting putbacks. All right, here comes their defense. Like, they're that team. Not great and not good by any stretch, but they get the job done when they need to.
They do.
And so what's going to happen on Friday? More than likely, Jimmy or not, I think that the Bulls will win that game.
I do too.
But then it's like, but here's the thing. Imagine if you supply the team with even more talent so they can have some resistance against the Celtics. They're not going to beat them. Absolutely not. They couldn't beat Philly. They couldn't beat the Celtics, the top-notch teams in a series. All I'm telling you is that I'm rooting for what I saw on the floor last night. A middle finger to the management, but applause to the players on the floor. That's how I look at it. And it's well-deserved.
Well-deserved.
That's why it was crazy in there last night.
Correct.
Because, like, you know, it's an appreciation for what they see on the floor. Effort. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Are you into the Bulls play-in run despite the front office and ownership? So let's talk about that. Also still to come, some thoughts from Billy Donovan, the head coach for the Chicago Bulls. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you to go to the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure that you check out the Cap and Jay Hood podcast there. You can like, share, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast as well. ESPN Chicago app is where you go, though, to listen live and to check out our show every morning. So, Cap, the Bulls win over the Atlanta Hawks last night, 131-116, a fever pitch at the United Center because it's an appreciation for the players. And, you know, there's been years that I've been doing this in which I would just envelop everything. Like, if I was mad at management, I'd be mad at the players, like the whole organization. We do that as fans from time to time. As I've gotten older as a fan, especially with the White Sox and the Bulls, it's kind of like, hey, man, you have to appreciate what the players are trying to do. This team is not even supposed to be in the play-in tournament. They're not even supposed to be at 39 wins because their number one offensive threat is done. He's done for the year, Zach LaVine. There's no Lonzo Ball, but yet those guys have tried. I watch teams in the league every night, Cap, it's in the regular season, that you know they would just fold the tent. They're just done. But the Bulls find a way to be able to win games. They've had some really solid signature wins against good teams.
The Bulls compete. They play for that coach. Mm-hmm. They have a good culture. They do.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Would you just clear it out, Barry?
Sorry.
For God's sakes.
Sorry.
Oh.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my raccoon gal.
My throat was a little raspy last night because I was yelling at the TV.
Yes.
And
just,
I was like, I'm going to bed. I'm like, going to bed? How can you go to bed? We got a game on. She didn't get it.
She got to understand it, though. And as far as this play-in tournament is concerned, you know, I know people say this is not really the playoffs. You're right. It's not the playoffs. It's a play-in. But you wonder why there's extended seasons, why there's extra wild cards. You know why this happens? Because you got to follow the money. Anytime in sports you have a question about something, like why is this happening? It's because of money, because of revenues, because of television ratings. That's why they have this. It doesn't bother me one way or the other because, you know, the Bulls are, it seems at this point in time, is a non-playoff team because they're in the play-in. But the reason why they have the extended seasons cap is because of money. It's what the league wants. Why does the league have an in-season tournament? Was it November or is it December? That whole tournament that the Lakers won? It's because of money.
That's all it is.
Money.
Money. That's it.
Some things are not that deep. and as a consumer, you have a right to turn it off or turn it on and move on to something else. But what they're doing is giving you an attraction. And so for the Bulls fan, this is almost like, thank you for hanging in there with us. We're going to give you extra effort against Atlanta. Now, when they take on the Heat, I mean, that Heat team, I probably should lock in the bet now. Like, the Bulls, to me, are going to win that game. Not even based on last night.
What's the line on the game?
I'm going to lock it in during the break. I'm not sure. But what I would tell you, Cap, is that Heat team is not as good as it once was. I know they have this big moniker about how they're the best in the best organization. We try the hardest and all this stuff. They have not been good this year. Substandard this year.
Bulls are 2.5-point dogs.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, I like the Bulls to win that game. Not even based on last night, just the matchup. And the Bulls will find a way to win that game in that sleepy environment.
They should have beaten them last year in the play-in. They had them in the fourth quarter and gave it away, remember?
Yes.
I think they had a double-digit lead and lost.
Yes.
But with Jimmy Butler likely out, not just that game, but if the Heat do win, he's likely out for a while with an MCL injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to go in there and you got to punch them in the mouth from the get-go. And yesterday, I thought Vucevic was a real key in that game, the way he was passing the ball and the offense was flowing. You remember, they threw it inside to him. He threw it across the court to the wing, I think to Caruso,
yeah,
who threw it to the top to Kobe, who kicked it to Javante Green.
Yeah.
Bang! Nails a three and rattles around and drops. I'm like, where has this team been? This is amazing.
It's been there in spurts, but not consistent enough because of the management of the Bulls. Billy Donovan with his thoughts.
You know, going back to the last time we played them, I think we really did not get there as much, and we knew that, you know, we're probably not going to get the volume of three-point shots up that they do, you know, with Murray and Bogdanovich and Trae Young and even Hunter, and then Matthews comes off the bench. So, you know, I think for us, we needed to get downhill and attack the paint, and I thought we did, you know, from our last game against them, a much, much better job of that. And certainly Kobe was a catalyst, so was, you know, Io getting downhill as well. And then I thought, you know, they went, you know, middle of the second quarter, they started trapping DeMar to get the ball in his hands, and I thought he was really good getting off of it and creating other driving opportunities for other guys.
All he can do, Cap, is just put the film on, talk about tendencies and say, guys, go get him. I know quietly, he probably would tell you before you tell me, he is not happy that the Bulls are not like in the mix, you know, 4 seed, 5 seed, 3 seed, something like that, because they're not that good of a ball club. But I'm sure in a quiet moment he would tell you, boy, with Zach off the floor, boy, we can be able to spread the floor. We can drive and kick it. We can do so many more things besides LaVine just holding on to the basketball or just kind of just being a stopgap to what we want to do offensively. Seriously.
Completely agree. And if you watched Atlanta last night, when were they the best? When Trae Young was on the bench.
Yep.
Do you realize, like, at the end of the first quarter, who was doing the broadcast on TV?
It's Ryan Rucco.
Was that Rucco and Richard Jefferson?
Yep.
Richard Jefferson said, wow, Trae Young's a minus 17 already. In a quarter. Minus. When they do up, we would always, that was my job, my first 2 years in coaching college.
Mm-hmm.
I had to keep the plus minus chart. Go back through the film. It was film. We didn't have digital and this.
Yep.
We had to put a freaking projector on and go back through, right. And go back through. I'm like, oh, we missed that. Block. He didn't block out. He didn't this. He did that. Oh, tedious work, man. But how a minus 17 in a quarter? That's just awful.
He's horrendous.
He's a horrendous player.
Yeah. Just I mean, there's obviously flashes here and there, but it just like, did you see some kind of rumor and innuendo about Trae Young moving on?
Yeah, Joe Cowley, my guy.
Yes.
Joe Cowley has...
Joe's so funny.
I love Joe. Has said that he's hearing the Bulls and the Hawks could link up on a deal, one for one, Trae Young for Zach LaVine.
No, thank you.
I will pass. I would rather have Zach LaVine. And Zach is not my favorite kind of player. Good guy.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's a winning ball player.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, thanks. No, thanks.
Trae Young?
Yeah.
I'd puke.
So we've been talking about the Bulls with you. Coming up next, we want to have a thought about the Bears. So Brad Biggs has a mailbag from the Chicago Tribune. I know you're blocked, but I was able to read it. His mailbag about what the Bears could do at number 9.
If I go into like a 7-Eleven and I buy a Tribune,
yes,
or try to,
mm-hmm,
if Biggs is in there, it's cut out of it.
Yes, he makes sure that you don't see it because you've been completely blocked from anything that he writes. But Biggs has something and some interesting thoughts about what the Bears could do at 9. We know what they're going to do at 1, but what about 9? We'll get to that coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and our YouTube channel.
Checkmate 1-6, suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot. And it's brought to you by...
That'd be ESPN Betting Alive in Illinois. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets with any sports book. Bat, we say good morning to Shea W. Norland.
Good morning, boys. Kathy has woken the dragon in me in this little debate about what the Bears should do at 9. But how are we doing on a Thursday morning? Deal Breakers Thursday.
We're good, man. We're good because we're 7 days away from the entire trajectory of the franchise changing.
How big is the dragon in you?
I'm trying to think of a funny retort, and I don't have one.
Oh. I mean, you're the one that...
3-4 inches?
Well, you offered the dragon. So I was wondering how big is that dragon inside of you when it comes to the NFL draft?
Large. You'll find out in around the NFL, actually.
See?
I have a list of opinions that I have cultivated about this upcoming draft in a week.
See, that's what I want.
And we'll do that in about 15 minutes.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Shot or no shot. Here's Shea Norley.
Before we get to that, NFL.com has put out a hypothetical trade between the Bears and the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if you saw this, but Chiefs fans on Twitter were losing their minds about it. Furious at the idea that this could be a part of the process and that the Chiefs might be looking to find a replacement for Travis Kelce. The trade had the Chiefs moving up to number 9, where they would select Brock Bowers. To move to 9, they give up pick 32 this year, pick 64 this year, a fourth round pick this year, and a first round pick next year. Poles gets 4 picks from Kansas City, 2 firsts, a second, and a fourth, to let them come up to 9 for Bowers and move all the way down to 32. Shot or no shot, the Bears would have to say no to this.
Shot? I'm not going to 32. You crazy? So I can pick 32 again next year with Kansas City's pick because they win the Super Bowl again? No shot.
There's some value there. At least for the Chiefs it has been.
Yeah, the Chiefs are getting another star.
Yes.
And I'm going... Well, I follow the Shea Norling model, and I'm going to get a conglomeration of picks. No, I want the superstar. Sorry, Kansas City. Piss off.
It's a no shot.
Take that.
It's a no shot, and the reason why is because at this point in time, unless the Bears were a Super Bowl contender, then you could take that because you say, oh, the Bears are always in the mix for the Super Bowl. So if they pick high, if they pick low, they'll always find quality. Because they're this, a player, a piece, a couple pieces away from getting to where they need to be.
Correct.
But where the Bears are right now, no, I'm good.
I'm on a star.
Stay at the top. And then when you get good, then we'll look at the bottom of the draft. Say, where's your value? How can you get guys at the bottom? You know, what few players can you get to be able to get you over the top? And so not at this time, no.
Yeah. The only way I told you, the only way I'm moving down is if you said there's three guys I have in my blue level, the top level, and I'm going down two picks, and I'm guaranteed to get one of them, or whatever the math works out to.
Shay.
All right, Sauce Gardner tweeted yesterday, quote, how do Chicago got two top 10 picks on top of the talent they already got? Who did they fleece? I just wake up and play football. I don't know about draft and trades. What really stands out to me here is the quote, on top of the talent they already got.
Mm-hmm.
Shot or no shot, other teams' players are getting afraid of how good the Bears could be.
That's a shot. Now, afraid might be a little strong. Sauce Gardner, who am I covering? Did my check get in the bank and I'm the best cover guy in the league? Which he arguably is. But he's not like a football file like we are. Oh, God, you see what Seattle did this and the Bears did that and the first day of free. He doesn't care about that stuff. He's not a fan. He's a player.
Sauce Gardner, it's funny because he's just realizing, you know, he's been in the league for a couple of years. It just kind of occurred to him looking at the Bears and say, wait a minute, how do they get there? Because Sauce Gardner is a player. Like, and as far as teams being aware, I think especially in the NFC North, they're very aware that the Bears are an up-and-coming team. A team that was a doormat, a team that was a laughingstock, now has been able to stockpile two number one picks and all of this movement in free agency. I think that the league is starting to figure out, and I don't think all players, because they're concerned about their own welfare, but I think there's certain players and certain teams are like, wow, look what the Bears are doing. So I would say that's a shot. I would say that. But I think it's funny that Sauce Gardner wakes up one morning and goes, oh, look what the Bears are doing. Two in the top two. Well, how do they do that?
Right.
You know, with the Jets, you know, he's got his own drama he's got to deal with.
I've had players. Well, Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
Said to me, I don't watch baseball.
He does not.
He's not sit there like we do on Twitter going, oh, free agency open in baseball. Who'd the Cubs get? He did not care.
Yes.
He's like, I don't pay attention to any of it. I just play.
Shay, this is how that works, right? You wake up, you work out, you go to work, and you go through, you know, your meetings and, you know, you do your workouts before your game. And then through the locker room, someone will say, hey, did you know so-and-so is going to the Bears? Or did you see what so-and-so is doing? Yeah? Tell me more about it. I see it here on Twitter. I see this on Instagram. They're getting the number one pick again, Caleb Williams. Oh, okay. And they just kind of move on with their business.
Right.
That's usually how that works, right?
Correct.
There isn't the breakdown that we do every morning. It's just kind of like, oh, word? Oh, okay.
Like a lot of players don't listen to the radio and read the social media posts of Adam Schefter and Field Yates and Mel Kiper. They're not into that. We are.
Unless they're misquoted.
Correct.
Then they go after them.
Correct.
Well, that part of it I get. I think the part that surprises me here is like just having no idea about what's going on in the league as it pertains to who's making trades with who and getting higher picks in the draft. But, like, are most players like that? Do you think the majority of NFL players really have no idea who is getting traded or what's getting traded or where teams are moving in the draft? They're just like, whoever ends up on our team ends up on our team. We're going to help them out.
Correct.
I think that the answer to the question is yes.
Yeah, 100%.
And here's what it comes to, Shay, and this is just my experience being around athletes. It's, did I go to college with this person? Did I play against this person in college or high school?
Bingo.
That's the thing. Do we have the same agent? That's how you get the information. Just like, hey, by the way, your guy just signed so-and-so. Oh, okay. That kind of thing.
Oh, he's going, that's my boy. We went to school together.
But scouring the transactions or going through your Twitter feed to find out what's going on with the latest with the Arizona Cardinals when you play for the Jets, that's not happening.
They don't care.
No, because they're so busy doing other things.
Correct.
And other people.
Correct.
Here's Shay Norling.
Yes.
All right, David Schoenfield at ESPN wrote up each MLB team's top trade candidate, had one name for the Cubs.
Schoenfield. Last time I talked to him, Shay, we got into this argument, the old night show, got into this argument. This guy was making the case for Mark Burley to the Hall of Fame.
Ugh.
A huge, like this, and we had a brawl. I'm like, that's not happening. And he wrote a column on ESPN.com like, look, I love Mark Burley like the next White Sox. But are you going to lower the standards that much? Hall of Fame person.
Right. Hall of Fame. Hall of very good if he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, go ahead.
All right. He had an interesting name for the Cubs as the one most tradable player, the top trade candidate. Alexander Canario. Canario seemed to leapfrog Pete Crow Armstrong when he got called up this week amid the Seiya Suzuki injury. He has an RBI double and just two at-bats so far. But shot or no shot, the Cubs should be willing to deal Canario if it means strengthening the bullpen.
Wow. How old is Canario?
23.
Yeah, no. I'm tired of watching other guys that we trade to get relievers like Jorge Soler, who goes and hits 47 bombs for Kansas City.
Do you want help or not? Yesterday, you did a whole thing about how this team needs to be willing to go and get an arm. You got to call somebody up. You got to But then I bring up any prospect. If I brought up PCA, it would have been no. If I brought up Kate Horton, it would have been no. Bring up Alexander Canario, now it's no. Do you want help or do you want to hug kids? What do you want?
I want some guy out of Class A that's we trade.
Don't be holding up Jose. Don't be holding up George Soler. Don't do that. You know he just wasn't good enough with the Cubs. He just blossomed. You didn't see that coming. None of us did.
You paid him $30 million in international money. You better have seen it coming.
Did you? But did you see it in a Cub uniform? You did not.
Yeah, he was on that World Series team now.
But you know what I mean. Like, he was never that with the
Cubs.
Won
the World Series MVP with who, Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I understand your point, but you know that that just wasn't, you know, some are late bloomers.
Yeah, I'd like to give Canario a chance to play, personally. I mean, what am I getting back? A middling reliever? Yeah, I need help. I've been pining for help.
What if I snap my fingers and turn him into Michael Kopech?
Michael Kopech for Canario? No. No, I'm not doing that.
I don't think you really want help. I don't really think you want bullpen arms.
No, I do.
The Settlers.
But what about, got to be some guy like Philip Archambault from the middle of North Dakota that's fairly highly rated in our system in Class A.
The hot shooter from the NCAA tournament?
That's Jack Golke.
Or Archie Diacono. The old bull.
Ryan Archie. Maybe there's a Diacono in our system. I'm not giving up Canario yet. Let him play a little bit. Let's see what he does here.
However, let's not bury the lead.
Watching Velasquez. He's a good player for the Royals. What did I get? Jose Quas.
Fantastic.
My ass. Horrible trade.
My guy.
Horrible.
However, let's not bury the lead in the PCA. Here comes PCA. Where is he? Should he be helping the ball club?
He's not ready.
He's not ready.
There's a breeze coming up State Street off of a swing and miss he had last night.
PCA, here he comes, Jesse. PCA. You gave him initials before he was a star. Pete Crow Armstrong fills out a uniform, but doesn't fill out a roster for this team. Take that.
Not yet.
PCA. Canario's ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason.
Canario's a beast.
Uh-huh.
Let's let him play.
Shay, can you squeeze in one more, sir?
Yeah, what the hell's going on with this cicada swarm? I brought it up in the Friday folder yesterday. Last night, I'm watching the White Sox.
Wait,
not yesterday, last week.
Okay.
I'm watching the White Sox yesterday, and I just keep seeing these promos for the news on NBC5 talking about, we have your updated map for the cicada swarm. Everything you need to know to prepare for the cicadas this summer. And I'm like, what is this? I'm listening to Waddle and Sylvie the other day. They're talking about Zetterman told him the cicadas will try to attack you and pee on your face and all of these different things.
What?
Like, shot or no shot, should we be afraid of these cicadas?
No, my wife is a bug expert and was...
Well, clearly.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
She deals with the pest every day.
And she did all this research on the cicadas. Not a lot to worry about. No.
Is that what she told you?
Yes.
Okay. You asked her about this. You had a conversation at dinner?
A lengthy conversation.
About cicadas?
Yes.
Ah, life in the suburbs.
Yes.
So, hon, tell me about these cicadas. And pass me the coffee.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, she's into all that. Birds. It's the worst when you're, like, having coffee with her, and she's like, oh, that's a yellow-bellied, spectacled, you know, whatever bird. And I'm like,
Robin Yount, yeah.
I'm like, you have no idea what that is. And then she goes out her computer and turns it around like you do with the screen and goes, there you go. And she's right. So I bought her a birdhouse that says, Mindy is always right. Yeah, she's all into this cicada thing. All in.
Wow. You know, that I would be concerned, yes, with the cicadas. Absolutely. The cicada swarm, I would be concerned. Because you never know, man. What kind of diseases are they holding?
None. There is no
I don't know.
Risk.
Okay. What about the city cicadas?
I can't speak for that.
But aren't these ones like special zombie cicadas that have some kind of fungus and you're not supposed to touch them? They got a fungus, Cap. Have you seen this? They got a fungus that they get infected, and then it removes their genitals, and then they, even though they don't have them anymore, they become, like, hypersexualized. That's the story.
Yes,
they're
I've
trying to mate despite they don't have the tools.
It's a south-side cicada.
And you can't touch them, and, like, some people cook them. They'll grill it, like, they'll put them on kebab things. You can't do that with these ones because they've got a disease. They've got some fungus.
No. Though the idea of a cicada apocalypse may seem foreboding, this is ABC 7, experts predict the two broods won't overlap significantly, and the bugs themselves, while loud and numerous, are harmless.
Jay Moore, run. Here come the cicadas. All is well. All is well. And that is a shot at O-Shot right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Coming up next, around the NFL on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the NFL right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, Deal Breakers comes your way at 8:35. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Hoodie, I'm feeling a little fiery today. I've got some opinions ahead of the draft, and I want to start...
today.
Well, maybe especially today. Uh-huh. I want to start with an argument Cap and I had about half an hour ago. Oh. Here's why I'm not drafting a wide receiver in the first round, personally. Not with the ninth pick. I'm not moving up for one. I've been consistent on this. I want an edge rusher. Now, I'll preface this by saying I am somebody who believes in this modern age of football, the two most important pieces on your team outside of your offensive line. So I'll say three most important pieces. You have your quarterback, you have the guys protecting your quarterback, and you have the guys rushing opposing quarterbacks. That's the three top most important positions on your football team for me in the year of our Lord 2024. Look no further than, I don't know, the Houston Texans, who drafted their quarterback and traded up in the same draft, not for a wide receiver, but for Will Anderson, and then went out and traded for or signed Danielle Walker. That's what you got to do in this league.
That'd be Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter. Whatever. I'm fiery. I'm moving too quickly for myself. Anyway, CBS Sports Top 100. How many of the top 100 were wide receivers?
The top 100 what?
In this draft.
Top 100, I'm going to say four.
Seven.
How about 17? You can find these guys anywhere. I've always believed it. Tyreek Hill, fifth round, for reasons, but sure, fifth round pick. Puka Nacua a year ago, fifth round pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown. List goes on. Nico Collins and Tank Dell led the way for Houston. I must have missed where they were top 10 picks. No, they just found their quarterback.
No, so they could go trade a second round and more so they could get Diggs because we don't have a star.
Oh, my gosh. It's almost like all pro receivers get moved every offseason. Here's another thing.
Just remember, Shay... is a Patriots fan, in which the wide receiver was not necessarily a luxury.
Correct.
He comes from a team where the system matters. If you pick up a wide receiver, and if he can run your system, that's fine.
Correct.
But that doesn't work for everybody.
Correct. And he's going to pay Diggs $25 million a year when I might be able to get a superstar on a five-year deal? Rookie.
Absolutely. I'm not arguing the financial aspect. I'm just telling you, you can get wide receivers in the late rounds, and all-pro guys get moved every offseason. Davante Adams got traded. Tyreek Hill got traded. Stephon Diggs has now been traded. Justin Jefferson sounds like could get traded next offseason if he's not happy with a franchise tag. A lot of stuff going on in terms of wide receivers on the move, and not just like middle-of-the-pack ones, the best ones in the league. By the way, out of the top 10 leading receivers by yardage last season, one was a first-round pick. Out of the top 10 graded edge rushers at PFF last year, six were first-round picks. Five of them were in the top five. Seems pretty clear to me where the elite talent is found at these positions. You want to get an elite edge rusher, you don't find them. You have to draft them early. You want to get an elite wide receiver? You can trade for them when they get disgruntled someplace. And half of them, actually, 9 out of 10 of the top 10 get found in later rounds. I'm not doing it.
I don't disagree with your premise. I kept saying to you, who's the best guy on my board? If it's Dallas Turner, I love him. Get him. All I said to you was, if I can get Marvin Harrison and here was the price, it is definitely worth considering. I can't afford Davante Adams next year at age 31 and a massive, huge contract. I'm getting a guy like that potentially on a rookie deal for 5 years. Worth discussion.
Shay?
Am I crazy for thinking this storyline is a little too public to actually happen? Everybody is talking about the Vikings moving up to trade for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Vikings are meeting with Jaden Daniels today. They want to move up, it sounds like, and draft a quarterback in this draft. They pick at 11, but I feel like the smoke has just gotten too thick for this to actually happen. When you think about the NFL draft and the teams that move up to draft a quarterback, typically it's not the one everybody thinks is going to. It's the Bears out of nowhere moving up and getting Justin Fields. It's always teams you don't expect that make these moves. It's very rare that it's the team everyone is reporting will do it that actually does it. So, I don't think the Vikings are moving up.
So you've seen what I've seen then. So 11-3 or 11-4, getting into the top five of the draft. You saw this too, correct? With the Vikings?
I did, yes.
Okay. So
that's why they made the trade with Houston to acquire pick 23.
I'm just wondering, Shay, whether or not you're shaking your boots that the Vikings and the Patriots will be making a deal where the Vikings try to get up to three to try to get themselves a Drake May.
I'm not really, because from what I've heard, if May's on the board at three, he's going to New England.
We've been saying that for months. Yeah. I think that's the best place for Drake May. I'm not the biggest Jaden Daniels fan. I think that May with the Patriots can get it turned quicker than they could with Jaden Daniels to me. Jaden Daniels, to me, is like the next coming of RG3, which is not bad when he was healthy. But that's what I see. I would say that if the Vikings trying to get into the top five or top four, Cap, you can understand why. They need a quarterback yesterday.
And they have a quarterback-friendly head coach, Kevin O'Connell, who's like, I need my guy now.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Before Jefferson gets really disgruntled. You think that's going to be a smooth ride this upcoming season? It will not. Whatever you think of Kirk Cousins, at least he kept the boat in the water.
Yeah, the rig is on the road.
Not now. That's Sam Darnold's job, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just telling you. Like once upon a time, that might have been a thing. He's a placeholder for what's next.
That's correct.
So
that'll be all.
But you can understand, Shay, why they're trying to get in there, because they look at the quarterback situation. They can't be confident in that.
Of course, I don't think they're confident in it, but I just wonder if they're really that motivated to move up. And if they were, would we know this much about it? Like, this is lying season. I always think whatever you're hearing teams are interested in doing, I'm actually happy that we're all mystified by what the Bears are going to do at 9, because it means they aren't leaking any plans.
Mm-hmm.
But I always kind of feel like this time of year, you start hearing what teams' plans are, you are only hearing what the teams want you to hear.
That's correct. Yeah, that's part of the negotiation. Absolutely. All right, what's next?
J.J. McCarthy, I think, is pretty much the most polarizing player in this draft. Everybody we've talked to, I mean, Breer's told us there are people who think he's a top five pick, no doubt.
Yep.
There are other people who think he's a second round grade and they wouldn't take him in the top 30. There are people who think he can't play. There are people who think he's a superstar. I think every year there is a quarterback that people assume will go in the top 10, top 5, wherever, and ends up still being on the board around pick 20. I don't think J.J.'s going to fall that far, but part of why I wonder if the Vikings are going to trade up is I think he might be there at 11.
McCarthy at 11 to the Vikings.
I don't believe it.
You still think it's going to be a quarterback role 1 through 4. Jay Moore.
Now, Cap and I have a show bet. I said he was going to go around 13. And Cap said if he goes before 13, he gets to submit the Grammy ballot, my Grammy ballot. So
how about that?
Remember last year, Will Levis.
Bruce Springsteen's going to be on every category.
That's right. Best rap album.
Bruce Springsteen.
Now you're going to spoil his. Now he'll never vote again after that.
Right. Scarred.
Hey, man, I got your ballot. Why is Paul Anka on this, man? Oh.
Frank Sinatra, best rapper?
That's really odd. Dude. Man, what's wrong with you, man?
Frank Sinatra featuring T-Pain.
Go ahead, Shay.
No, I was just going to say, last year, Will Levis, and like I think the day before the draft, he had the second best odds to go number one in the draft.
Oh, my God.
He ended up going in the second round.
Yes.
So every year, there's a guy, like Kuiper, I think, was putting Will Levis potentially as the number one pick. Every year, there's a guy, people go, that guy's going to come off the board first, second, or third. And they end up falling into the 20s. This year, I think the quarterbacks are better than normal. But, yeah, I think Jay Moore was onto something. I think J.J. could be on the board at 11.
I don't know
if he slips past Minnesota, but he'll be there, I think.
All right, that's around the NFL, and Deal Breakers is right around the corner. You're listening to the Cap and J. Hood Morning Show.